Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Season 7, Episode 155. Is it a showdown, comparison, or a rant? Let's join Troy Collar and Nolan Hames as they talk about the differences in PowerPoint on Windows and PowerPoint on Mac.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc. We're based in Southern California, and we're having record heat, but after getting back, well, I actually just spent the evening in Dallas, Texas, not planned, but my flights got delayed and canceled and I couldn't make them. 96 degrees at 11 o'clock at night. They're having more record heat. So, you know, my news is relatively there. Hey, I've been on 8 flights in the past month since just fairly recently. I have not lost my luggage once. So I just want to call this out. I mean, I didn't make it home because the flights were, I had a delay that made me miss the last one in. But, you know, you read the headlines, you'd make it sound like no one can get their luggage anywhere.
You actually want to give a shout out to the airlines. Okay.
No, I want to give a shout out that it's the news always finds that one area to focus on. They don't really take note of the fact that, hey, I've been on 8 flights with and some of those have been international.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, well,
you still don't pack your important stuff I keep a
change of clothes and I keep the important business stuff with me and everything else goes in, depending on the thing. Anyways, on the PowerPoint side of things, hey, happily busy. I just got back, as I just said, because a day later than I wanted. And I've been, this one was a fun event. I was in the Midwest, by the way. It was like, absolutely, I wish Sandy was with us because it is absolutely that's why she's not with us, Nolan.
Well,
I was in Wisconsin. It was 80 degrees during the day and it was like 65 degrees at night. And I didn't feel it was like absolutely the best weather. I mean, it's probably like that 2-week chunk of perfection for the Midwest, but I was there coordinating, running presentations. It was an arena event, 14,000 attendees. So a little pressure to make sure you don't screw up slide cues. What's happening with you, Nolan? Say hi.
Hello. We should say Sandy's not joining us today because we are going to be talking. We're just going to have sort of a casual conversation on Mac versus PC. But it's training left and right here, different trainings, which I managed not to cancel any the last couple weeks, even though I've had a bunch, because COVID dodgeball finally hit me a couple weeks ago.
Man, how about the girls?
The girls had it for like a day.
It was a busy household.
Yeah, so it was, girls home from camp, and every Ty fortunately was unscathed, but I've been sleeping in the guest room and in my office, so managing to continue to give trainings, but my voice is still a little froggy, so forgive me for that.
Well, yeah, thanks for joining.
It's trainings left and right. I got another one this afternoon, and it's all going good.
Fantastic. Well, we got to jump into some news before we jump into the conversation you and I are going to have here. Okay, on the news front, I'm actually really excited about this one. Cameo was released just this last week to the current channel with preview. So the sort of build preview channel. I mean, Microsoft has lots of namings. And that's on my main production computer. So that's what's exciting is I've had Cameo on my Surface because I run the beta build, which I can't actually think of the name of right now. And it's been there for months. I mean, I'm like, how?
Yeah, it's taken a long time to come over.
I really think it has. But I'm very excited it's there. I've got a blog post series that I've been kind of sitting on because I didn't want to release it until most everybody had it. So now I've put it into the mix.
And it is also on the Mac as well, because, you know, whenever
builds,
we say,
right?
As far as I can tell, so whenever we say current channel, that may still mean PC only. You get, there are about, I don't know how many different variations,
Well, there's mainly three on the Windows side. There's Super Beta, which I can't think of. And there's current channel with preview. And then there's current channel, which is the corporate build, which says, IT people have to. They lock it down. Like, you can only use the approved stuff. So anyways, that's a huge deal because that's literally millions of people that suddenly have this amazing tool. And Cameo is great, especially in our hybrid environment here of just everybody needing to record stuff and send it out. And I used it for, oh my gosh, how long ago was Creative Pro? I used it for that.
That was May.
Months ago, right?
Yeah,
May,
that was May.
June, July. Yeah, so like I said, it was months ago. And it's a pretty stellar thing. What else you got in the news front for presentation?
What else? Slide-wise, 1.8. I believe you mentioned it last time, but it officially got released into the wild. So that brings with it transition management, which is amazing. And I used it just the other day. And master management, which I believe you, Troy, have been using more. I haven't been been playing with it.
I use it a lot. And so the transitions, I think proposed the idea. I'm like, hey, we need a transition audit. And the design, the dev team there is like 2 weeks later, like, hey, how's this for a build? I'm like, this is amazing. First of all, because I've been talking to Microsoft, like hinting, like saying this would be a, you know, this is the thing. Yeah. So anybody that's interested in Slidewise, we're not affiliated. There's nothing but actual endorsement of love here because it is phenomenal. But version 1.8, but I just did a blog post series all of last week. So all three posts for last week were on Slidewise, and I demo the slide transition audit, the master slide consolidation, and then just the absolute thing that put them on the map, which is font management. So,
and we were talking, I just got bit by a little transition thing myself, which I might as well mention. You can put transitions onto the master and layouts, which I do. So like if you always want, you know, slow fades, you know, 0.2 seconds, you just put them in there and any new slide you create. So I had that on this big deck of mine, but I wanted to remove those. And I just went into the master. I said, take off the transitions, just no transition on the master, thinking that would fix it for all new slides created, which it does. But what it did was it overrode all my individual transitions, my morph transitions I had put on throughout the deck over across hundreds of slides. So.
And I would not expect that. So I'm not. Wait. Hold on. First of all, are you on the Windows side or the Mac side?
I did that on the Mac. I haven't tested it on the PC, but
okay,
at least
maybe
on the Mac.
Maybe something to add to this list here that we're going to talk about. Okay, what else we got in the news? Is that it for news?
Speaker Coach has come to PowerPoint for Teams. That affects my life not at all, but it's there. So.
Speaker Coach is very cool. I actually will experiment with it. I just don't use. I don't present much in Teams. It's just not my world. None of our corporate events or virtual stuff's in Teams at this point. So it's, it's a constant evolution.
And I don't want to use Speaker Coach because I don't want to be told anything negative about myself. So that's, even though it's going to catch
the coach
my,
doesn't want to use Speaker Coach. There
gonna,
you go,
it's
folks.
Gonna catch, it's going to catch my ums. It's going to explode with how many ums and errs that I have. But all right, that's it for news, I think.
Okay, we're going to start this episode by saying I love Macs. Apple computers, they're definitely there. This is where we started as a design studio. So I'm level setting here. There's no biases here. Everyone says Macs are so expensive. Our first design computer it was Lori's design computer. It was a Mac 2SE. I wish we still had it. It was over $5,000 with its all of 14-inch color monitor that weighed like 30 pounds for the monitor alone. That was the student price package. I mean, this was like a crazy 25% discount or something. It did include a printer.
Expensive.
I wonder if it was a color printer.
The printers were like $5,000 initially, weren't they?
As we transitioned to multimedia and eventually presentation design, we also transitioned to a Windows-based studio to align with our corporate clients. And that and the fact that PowerPoint on Windows is just better. Personal opinion, but I'm just saying it.
More full-featured, yeah.
Here's the backstory. This is the intro, but it's long. Here's the backstory. I don't get the opportunity to work on Macs in PowerPoint that often. I mean, we have them, but generally, if we're going to open up a Mac, it's to run Keynote because the project asked for Keynote. Great. That means you have to run a Mac. So a few weeks back, the corporate event I was on supplied the show computers, which were Macs and Mac PowerPoint, which I thought was an interesting combination. I had 10 of them. So it was a multi-screen presentation and it looked amazing. It was fantastic. So over the course of the week of running Mac PowerPoint on computers that weren't mine, so even the minimal QAT that is available on the Mac PowerPoint wasn't there, I had the opportunity to compile a list of Mac PowerPoint versus Windows PowerPoint things. And this conversation we're having is just me asking our Mac PowerPoint user, that is Nolan Hames, his opinion of these features and interface differences. So let's go have some fun.
Before we get into things, we want to acknowledge that it's just the two of us. We're going to be joined next episode by Sandy. We're gonna have a good episode on free stuff, all the free stuff out there. But Troy, I wanted to ask you. So you say you rarely work on Macs in sort of your environments, and for you guys know, Troy does mostly sort of large events. Why would, if you're not doing Keynote And well, actually, let's even step back. Who makes these decisions generally in your world? Is it the client? Is it you? Is it like, why would you use Keynote over PowerPoint? Why would you use Max for PowerPoint over PC? Like, who's making these decisions? And
how That's a great question.
Obviously, you can pivot, you know, you can do it all. But who's making those decisions and why?
Generally, sometimes it's the actual end client. So when you work for certain movie studios, you show up with Macs only. There is not a Windows in sight. It used to be in years past, if you worked for a certain software company that may author Microsoft, that might author PowerPoint, little slip there. You showed up with Windows only computers, that's right. Transitioned. Sometimes it's the end client, but mostly for us, it's the production company, the people putting on the production, and they've just spec'd for Macs for whatever reason. We generally like to bring our own computers because we run a very custom build of PowerPoint. We have the Windows OS very customized, and we like to work in a familiar environment, have our own software suite. So generally, we actually get to spec it, but there are very few instances. If it's a Keynote-based production, then it's going to be production company speccing it. We don't really get control, is the answer.
So, all right, that makes sense. And also, before we get started, hopefully everybody remembers five episodes ago, I think four or five episodes, we had a good conversation, which was just me, Joel Simmons, and Mike Parkinson. We were talking all about Mac. So this is in some way going to be a bit of a continuation of that, but we're going to look over, we're going to get Troy's real nitpicky teardown and breakdown of a lot of the differences and things you can do and can't do. And again, it's interesting from Troy's perspective, because I don't see quite the detail sometimes of the differences, but certainly Troy, from these recent experiences, you've seen some of the deficiencies and some of the things that were missing.
And some things I absolutely loved.
Exactly, so, some of the advantages.
Hey, this is really kind of a cool side note here. So while I'm sitting backstage, setting up these Macs and just like, oh, that's different, this and that. So, I do a little web search to see if I can find somebody talking about it. Our episode 150, your conversation with Joel and Mike showed up in a couple of the searches. I click it, like, wait, that's our show notes. It was pretty fun and awesome. So absolutely. I think that a conversation along with the timing of me diving into PowerPoint on a Mac again is kind of the reason for the conversation, and it's all about timing. So, and the timing is that in addition to having a couple of Mac-based presentations, we also just took a dive as a company into Mac again, because there's so many things happening. We bought another four pack of MacBook Pros, the little 14 inchers that are, they're stellar because they actually have a dedicated HDMI port. They have a separate power port, and they still have
the new chips, and they got rid of the touch bar, right? No touch bar, that's gone.
No touch bar, which is something I have to add. That's one of my things. I was
it or you don't like it?
No, well, I'm going to save the rental computers were touch bar, and I got totally stymied. Like, how do you do this?
We've got a big list, but before we go into that list, let me ask you another sort of big question. Do you notice a general performance? Now, obviously, this is going to be related to the power of the computer, but do you notice any sort of general performance issues, or which is faster, or does it not matter as long as you're, have a fast enough computer?
Well, we got to define performance. Are you talking about when you're editing and designing, developing a presentation, or running a presentation?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes is my answer. In edit view, I cannot be as fast on a Mac. And that's where a lot of my points are going to come from.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the QAT, QAT.
You're talking about usability. I'm talking about like computing
and
power.
And then on the slide performance side, no, I don't see any performance differences, although I am just absolutely amazed by the new M1 and M2 chips and their graphics capabilities. By the way, I also discovered in another event, two events, almost back to back, a Keynote bug with the new M1 chips, because it didn't come up on a legacy computer. So that's the Keynote's ability to actually take your presentation, your content, and divide it up across multiple screens. So we had presentation on one, dedicated presenter notes on another, and next on another. Well, one of those goes out. Apple's got some work to do. Okay.
I'll say I of course work faster on a Mac just because it's what I'm used to. But I will say, like, I've had some issues, and maybe we'll get into this, with the M1 chip and presenter view and sharing screens, presenting at conferences. I've had some issues where you mirror the mirror, you know, you set mirroring, and then you go out of slideshow mode and it disappears. And it's like, and the only,
yes.
Yeah, we're blaming it on the M1 chip. I don't know.
Display setup is,
yeah,
I think, a little more powerful, but a little bit more nuanced or problematic on the Mac. And this is going to be one of my things, is that you can't make presenter view a window on the Mac side to move it around or resize it. And to me, that's, I mean, if you work on the Mac exclusively, you wouldn't know what you're missing. Right. But to me, it was like, wow, this is a huge problem, because I'm expecting that functionality. So I think that's kind of where, so like I said, this is a very nuanced conversation, because the program is super powerful. I am going to say that I personally think that Mac computers in general, if they're running the new chipset, they're the most powerful computers available right now. I am absolutely stunningly amazed by their performance. Let me get my vision for this conversation so we get us on track. And I think it will be interesting, revealing, and for the two of us, it'll be a lot of fun. I have now done 3 corporate events using PowerPoint for Mac, all within the last 5 weeks. So I've been very entrenched in PowerPoint on the Mac. This is just kind of a unique point in history where I really focused on the Mac. And the first one got me thinking, and then the next one, I started looking for things. So this is a more in-depth Mac PowerPoint time than I've probably done in the last 3 years combined. I have just so much extensive experience in Windows on PowerPoint that I noticed features that were different or missing, or they were just there on the Mac version and not on the Windows side. It's like, wait a minute. And a lot of those were OS based. So anyways, here's what I did. I created a list, Nolan, of all my things. And it's not a small list. I have a list. I sent it to you. It's the 25 things that I said, hey.
This is Troy's cranky list, right?
And I kind of want your feedback, because I want to know because you bounce between both sides, but we really should have somebody else that's Mac only. Sure. Would be great to, anyways, you know, just get that opinion here to say, oh, is that even, like, I think a lot of people, if they're Mac, they don't even realize that these are options that are part of PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
all right, hit me with it.
If okay with you, I'm just going to go through this list and you tell me what I'm missing or I should know, or if you agree that the Windows is better or the Mac has got the best. I mean, there's no right answer here. I just think this will become. So here's my very first one that caught me off guard, because I use this a lot and I know a lot of people don't, and that's Reading View. Mm-hmm. So when you're in a presentation, you can click the little book, you know, little book icon at the bottom, and it basically puts the presentation in a window. I use this all the time. Let me explain how I use it or why I use it. And here's the thing that got me. Well, let me explain how I use it. Then I'll say, I don't see this on the Mac. Is this a big deal to everybody? I use it because my computers are set up to be projecting out to other screens that I don't see. So when I hit slideshow, I am totally reliant on presenter view and usually a multi-monitor. So I have, you know, big 65-inch monitor in front of me that has small windows of all the other sources. Well, if something pops up over there, which is another thing about display setup, I want to set the background image on a Mac, there's no gather windows for that particular one. So you know, I'm looking at a little 4-inch display. So anyways, the way I use Reading View is I want to show somebody the slides, or I want to test them. I'll run Reading View so I can run the slideshow on my local monitor, so it's not going out to everybody else. Now, here's what I discovered. Reading View on the Mac doesn't display the slide count. I think it's in the lower left of the Chrome UI on the Mac. So, you know, like, how do I know if I've advanced to slide number? You know, I started on slide 5. Mm-hmm. How many clicks did I do? Am I now on slide 9 or am I slide 20? Because I want to make this edit. And it seems like a missing, like, oversight.
Yeah, it's picking a nit, but it's valid. It's valid. And you're right. I mean, I honestly had to look at it this morning. I was like, okay, let me look at the PC versus the Mac. I guess there's no. And it's funny. I've started using Reading View a lot more than I have in the past, just when I don't want presenter view to pop up and take over my computers and everything. I just want to see it quickly. I just want to sort of see quickly what slideshow looks like. And Reading View, it's a weird name for it, right? I'm not really sure what it means.
Well,
but
it makes more sense on the Microsoft Word side, where they have a reader view as well. And it, you know, it gets rid of all the chroming and it makes it inverse like a...
But, But it's, yeah, I mean, your explanation of how to use it is great. So, I mean, it's definitely a good use. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's no slide number. There's no...
Dang it, I was hoping you'd say, oh, it's over
no,
here.
No, not as I'll do it again right now. But, no, you just get a... your window is resizable, so you could actually make it, like, super
exactly.
tiny, which is nice. But, no, there's nothing... There's certainly room for it. But as
hey,
far
keep
as
that
know,
resizable in mind, folks, because I'm going to bring that up in a few moments here, because that one bugs me. Okay, here's another one. Wait, what?
Okay. Well, if you have to know, you can right click anywhere on Reading View and you can get a list of all of your slides with a checkbox of which one you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another. So if you also,
that's a really good tip. I could have used that.
Yeah. So, and if you have headers, of course, it'll give you, you know, properly, you know, header placeholder headers. It'll tell you what slide it is. So you could easily go to slide 38. You know, you could go to slide.
It's
whatever.
Not as easy as looking in the lower left saying, oh, you're on slide 38. But yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay. I did not know that. I didn't even think about that. And the other thing, and the reason this is a nit on all versions, when you run a slideshow and you hit escape to go back to your edit view, it takes you back to the original slide you started from. Whereas when you're editing, you hit escape, it takes you to that slide so you can edit it. I can see the reasoning both ways, but that's when I really noticed it.
That bugs me so much because what I'll do when I start my slideshows on slide one, right? And then I get to slide 30 at some point and I want to do a demo. So I hit escape and it pops back to slide one in edit view. There's no way.
No. In edit view, it should take you to the slide you're on. It's the reading view that passed me. Oh, maybe that's another Mac. I'm going to add a note here.
That could be a Mac thing because it always takes me back to whatever I started from, which is.
I'm going to have to look at that. Okay. Here's a big one. And I hope I'm missing this. Is there a color picker for like the paint bucket font color and outline selector?
Yeah,
did I just miss it? Is it really not there?
I'll explain it to you. Let me Mac explain this to you. But it's not where you would hope it would be. So when you click your bucket fill or your text fill or your line fill, you get theme colors and recent colors and more fill colors and gradients and texture, all that kind of thing is not there.
Well, let me put you don't get the little eyedropper tool for
no,
a color.
No, you don't. But you have to go to more fill colors. At which point you get your RGB sliders and all that, you know, color pickers, and at the bottom is your eyedropper. This is just the way it's been forever on the Mac, and I think this is more a Mac OS thing for whatever reason than a PowerPoint thing. Oh. But Mac has had eyedropper forever.
I thought but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's one level buried. I'm not sure you can actually add that to the QAT, which of course we'll get to. But so it's there. You just got to click one more time to more colors. And
well, speaking of the QAT, the QAT is only on the top ribbon portion.
Is just
and
messed
it
up
doesn't have all the options and you can't put, I mean, I tried importing mine and it just said no.
Then you don't have import export. You don't have, can't put it below. You can't add features. You can't just right click on a feature like in the ribbon and say, add to the toolbar. And more frustratingly, there are just some functions that you select to add to your QAT and they just never show up, like selection pane. Like it's there. It's an option in the preferences to add it, and I do it, and it just never shows up. So it's just so buggy, and I don't use. And this is where, you know, this is one of the reasons you're more productive on the PC because you're such
absolutely.
A QAT person. I use my QAT just for a few things that I can shove in there into the,
And that's why you're so keyboard command heavy as opposed to me. I'm QAT heavy.
Because one thing I can do is I can use keyboard shortcuts for alignment tools. You can, which is like,
so definitely slows down production. Very frustrating. And that's a huge, I mean, because I think the QAT is one of the most powerful features on PowerPoint. And I'm just stymied by the fact that it's just not there. In addition, as you mentioned, because I've got now four Macs and we go to set it up. So we have to manually set it up on each of the Macs. There's no import export of the XML file. Staying at the top area there, the ribbon, I could not collapse it or hide it. Like it's just it's nice to see all the commands, but, and even on the new rollout, the whole Office, you know, refresh design, they've even added more options to just collapsing or making it minimal. And on the Mac, it's just what it is. And that kind of surprised me.
I'll Mac explain this again to you. It's a little more elegant. You don't have the little arrow like in the corner to like collapse or whatever. You just click whatever tab you're on, like you're on the home tab, just click it. Click the word home and it collapses.
No way.
Yeah. It's so I know it's a little weird, but and I it's funny because I rarely even collapse my ribbon, but yeah. But when you have
when I'm in show mode, I'll the backup computer, I take it away. So if I'm slides, I want to maximize the number of slides I can see. So I minimize it there. I did not even think to click on it. That's way too Mac obvious. Thank you.
Yep. So there you go.
Here's a difference, but all things, it's not a bad thing, but it does surprise me that there's a disparity between the two versions. Hidden slides. Mm-hmm. The Mac has a different way of showing that it's hidden. And by the way, I like the Mac icon in the center of the slide way better than the little slash through the slide number on the Windows side. So Mac does it better.
It's much clearer that a slide is hidden on the Mac than the PC. It's like you have to like get your
you really have to search.
You're right. So that is really nice. I still think I would love to see what they do in Keynote, which is the whole slide like goes down. Don't want that?
No. Hate and dislike that.
Dislike that?
About is in Keynote. Well, you know what? So Keynote, when you hide a slide, mm-hmm. if you're in slide sorter view or the side ribbon, it just becomes a little strip so you can't see it.
Right.
So that would be a problem for me because when I build a show like the one I just did, arena show, I've got hidden slides that are hidden on purpose. They're what we're called info slates. They're giant slides that say presenter name, how long they have to speak. We do video roles because videos don't come from PowerPoint in my world. They come from a full video playback system. So I could have let's say 100 slide deck. I may have an additional 20 slides of information in there added. So if they were hidden, it would be detrimental to my workflow. But the thing
what do you do when you have to do Keynote? Do you just do like instantaneous?
Oh, panic.
You don't do like, you don't keep them live and unhidden and do like zero transitions to like skip past it? No, that's too.
Wait, I've never tried that. I've never thought, doesn't that make it blip though still? Let's talk about that one later.
Yeah, okay.
So on the hidden slide thing, the other thing that I wanted to say is, I want your opinion between Keynote. So Keynote, if you have five slides and you hide slide number two, mm-hmm. when you get to slide number three, it doesn't show it as number three. If you have slide, it shows it as two.
Yeah.
But that makes it really hard when you're doing a printout because they're going to say, hey, edit slide number two. But then you're in edit view and you're like, wait, slide number two is this hidden thing. What are they talking about? So I could see it both ways.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'd all like the option, right? We'd like the checkbox.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay. But I just know that I have so many the way I work. I mean, your workflow makes sense. I have so many slides. When I hide them, I want them hidden. I just
because you're doing a training deck and you're doing stuff. It's informational. Yeah. I would like the option.
Okay.
Options would be better. Okay, here's another one, and this is Touch Bar Mac specific.
Okay, now the computer Touch Bar, but I'll go with you.
Oh, okay,
and I've never been a fan of the Touch Bar. But,
skipped the Touch Bar. I have pre-Touch Bar Macs still in use, and now I have we've now bought several of the newer versions, which don't have the Touch Bar as well. So I was sitting in front of Touch Bar Macs. How do you start a slideshow quickly from that slide keyboard? Because I use F5 to start from slide one, or shift F5, which is more common to start from the exact slide. But on a touch bar, there's no function. The top row isn't the function keys. I don't know how to.
I can't really speak to the touch bar if you can't. I mean, you should. I thought there's the thing on the touch bar that allows you to have the function keys.
That's what I was wondering, and I don't know.
There has to be, but I never really use my function keys at all. First of all, you can always go to the little icon at the bottom right, and that will – the slideshow icon, and that'll do. But because you can set macOS level keyboard shortcuts, I go into slideshow from current slide through command return. That's been that way. I don't think that's the default. In fact, I'm not even sure there is a keyboard command default set but whatever it is. So I'm looking at now, what is it under slideshow? It would be play from current slide. You have options in the file menu, play from start or play from current slide.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, I try to avoid mouse movement on a live computer when I'm going live.
Right.
So keyboard commands are my favorite. And in this case, I couldn't do it.
Just set it to whatever you want to be. I've set mine to command return. So I always know that's how I go into slideshow mode constantly. It's like muscle memory at this point for me. So that's the way to do that.
Okay, I got another. This is item number 7, by the way. There are 25 of these, so this is maybe a little bit longer conversation than I envisioned. But this one's a one that's on the Mac, and I'm like, applauding the Mac, but again, it's like, why is there a disparity between the two? This one just baffles me because we do medical charts slides all the time. Mm-hmm. We do financial clients all the time. Superscript and subscript numbers and content are like, they're vital. They're part of the workflow. On the Windows side, starting with PowerPoint 2007, superscript and subscript disappeared from the ribbon. I got to the Mac. I was absolutely blown away. I'm like, there's superscript and subscript buttons right on the ribbon where they belong. Why does the Windows not do the Windows side not do this?
I don't know. I mean, first of all, I don't use them all that often. But we get those, and we don't get what the PC has sort of in place of it. Because I'm like looking at the sizing. You get PC gets text shadow, a button for that, mm-hmm. which is like, all right, I guess. And the Mac gets a subscript superscript. So. But it's weird. Like, I mean, it should be the same, you know, whatever. But as you pointed out,
I think the Mac has it right, by the way. In this case, it was absolutely the best choice. And I hope the Mac people don't ever bow to the pressures and say, you should get aligned. The Windows side should get aligned with the Mac side on this one.
All right. So that is superscript and subscript. What else you got?
Why does the Mac ribbon mm-hmm. not show? Is it the ribbon? They don't show the section names, the ribbon itself, you know, like underneath it would say, here's the clipboard, here's the yep. font section. So, you know, you go to the home tab and you have, you know, all the elements there, but the Mac just, again, it's Mac. You assume, you know,
I'm looking at it right now and it does.
Oh, really?
So I'm curious as to why you didn't notice that.
And here's the problem, folks. I had a Mac with me for this conversation, but because I discovered the M1 chips don't support boot camp, which has been my traditional way of always getting Windows, I ponied up the money for a parallel subscription, so another subscription in our company, and our IT manager yesterday started installing it. So I was like, oh, yeah, keep going. And here we are recording this morning, Nolan, and I don't have a Mac in front of me. So I don't know why I wrote this note, but I could not find, like, you know, where it says font section. You know, the top one's there, but the little bottom chunk section is not. It's just, it's an inconsistency. It didn't bother me at all. Actually, I might have actually liked it better without them because it's one less thing taking up interface space, but it's just inconsistency. Yeah,
they're tiny, but they're there.
I don't know. Maybe I just overlooked them. Where are the I'm going to call it the user interface color options. Yeah. And I want to change it to dark gray or black. Where do you find that? Or that ridiculous orange that I know you probably approve of?
That is an amazing question. I don't know the answer to that. And I'm looking right now and I don't know because I prefer the default, whatever it gives me. And I know that it has to do with your Office account, right? It's Office wide. Oh. It's not just, but I do not know where you do that. Is it under View? Is it? And I should have done some research on this, but
I just gave you a list of names, but I just thought it was, you know, so yeah. I'm in front of this, you know what? It must be controllable because all of ours have the dark.
It has to be. It's not under, I can't seem to find it under,
but it's not under
PowerPoint the preferences.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, that one kind of stymied me that it was not easily findable.
All right, we'll look into it. We'll look into that one. Okay. What else you got?
Okay. This is really nuanced, but when you go into videos, so mm-hmm. I've got a video on a slide and I want to trim it. Yep. I found a good and a bad on this one. The bad was because, you know, a lot of videos, you can pretty much tell where you want to clip the beginning of it or the end of it because you can look at the waveform and you say, I'm just going to trim it right to that level. On the Mac, I didn't see a waveform. It doesn't show the waveform.
Yeah, I don't think there is one. You just have to sort of guess and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it does add an audio level trim, which is the fade in, fade out right inside of it, which the Windows side doesn't. It always like confused me. Like, why do I do this part here, the visual, the video part, and I do the audio part over here on the Mac? They're combined together. And I thought that was brilliant, but I really did miss the video, the audio levels, because I use that a lot.
And one thing you cannot do on the Mac is you can't compress the video at all.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So you don't have all those, like all those backstage options that you have on the PC. You just don't have those on the Mac. So, yeah.
And I understand because those are a lot defined by the operating system more than the install of Office. So shout out to Microsoft. They just released, hold on. Is this NDA? No, this is good. On the Mac side only, you can now export your presentations as alpha channel video. Mm-hmm. which is a total macOS thing. And I've been told it's coming to Windows 11 because of maybe a new video engine that Windows 11. I don't know if it's going to go to Windows 10, but I really want the ability to play Alpha Channel transparent video elements. So, you know, it'd just be just the swooshes, you know, not a solid background. Right. But anyways, the Mac just has this cool new thing in there. And again, that I'm sure that's totally Mac OS based. Like, we can leverage this thing that the Mac allows that Windows doesn't right now. Okay, we hinted on this. Let's go over to slideshow mode. Presenter view. I actually listed presenter view, and I'm sorry, I actually have 4 points on this.
Okay.
First of all, on the Mac, presenter view has the film strip along the bottom, which I love.
You know, I used to like it, and it's been frustrating me because if I want to go to a slide like 50 or 100 slides away, it's really difficult to like scroll. Oh, I went by it. Like,
You know what it's missing, Nolan?
What?
It has a little film strip. It's missing slide sorter view. So if you want to jump to slide 50,
right. It's got a good view. Actually, if you want to skip to like, you know, three slides away, it's helpful. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like just being able to kind of preview what's ahead, you know, give you that little glimpse. Yeah, but the slide sorter view, I was literally paralyzed without it. And the other thing is slide sorter view on the Windows side, if you set it up, if you use PowerPoint sections. So you say, this is presenter A, this is presenter B, and you know, you put them in. When you open up, when you go to slide sorter view on the left-hand pane, it'll give you jump points to each one of those sections very efficiently. Now, again, I understand most people are working on their own slide deck, but as a training deck, you could do all your topical things and have them there make it very fast navigation. But, you know, I'm working on, I mean, my decks last week were, I don't know, 400 slides for day one, and it was only a 3-hour meeting, and you know, well over that for day two. And you know, those jump points are just invaluable for, especially in rehearsals where they, you know, quickly, hey, jump to this presenter so we can look at their slides, man. On the Mac, I just escape out, go find it and relaunch it, because it would take forever to scroll through 300 slides on a little. So I love the film strip, but again, it's options. I would love it to be able to turn on and turn off, but slide sorter view is absolutely missing.
Yeah, it's called it's not called slide sorter, it's called view all slides or something like that. But yeah, it's a little button.
Wait, there is one?
No. I'm talking about that on the PC.
Oh yeah. It brings up a grid view. I don't know what it's called. I should probably do that. So you mentioned this one already. You can direct edit the presenter notes on the Mac. You've been able to do that for a long time, right?
Yeah,
so I think that's stellar. It's coming to the Microsoft PowerPoint Windows side. So I think that's just awesome. And I couldn't believe that I actually did not know that was a function on the Mac side. And that's a stellar feature. Yeah. Here's the other thing that kind of got me. This is, again, nuanced. But in presenter view, the end slideshow at the top of the presenter view. So if you don't want to escape, you want to use a button, it's in a different placement. On the Mac, it's on the far left, and on Windows, it's on the far right. I'm like,
yeah, but do you ever use anything but escape to get out of slideshow mode?
I don't. Actually, I do. For some reason, I do use the end slideshow button quite a bit. I think there's a lot of other things that could be added there to make that a lot more powerful, but it's just consistency. So I have a story to go with this. Okay. We actually just had our washer and dryer. I guess it was the washer blow up on us, like literally big bang, smoke, you know. So we got a new one. They were by Samsung. I won't disparage them, but I did take photos because if I ever get a chance to do like things you've observed or something, this is a great observation. They're made by the same company. They're a matched washer and dryer set, but the dials, you know, to determine, you know, delicates and normal and heavy, they were different between the two. So on the washing machine, it's in one position to go to delicates, but on the dryer, it's in a different position. I'm like, where's the consistency? So I'm saying in this case, it's the same program. It's just in two fields. Where's the consistency? It's not there.
I'm not a huge fan of Samsung's UI, but
well, we in got, general. Let's just say we did not replace it with another Samsung set. Anyways.
Well, I'm looking forward to tips and tricks on your washing machine recommendations. And, all right, what else?
We got photos. The font drop-down menu. Fonts, and this is another Mac thing, still has it. Mm-hmm. Windows used to have it, and they lost it. Mac kept it. If you do the drop-down, it shows you the cloud icon, so you know if it's a cloud icon font. Like, I can get
when
this font.
Did we lose? No, we still have the little cloud on the PC, right?
No, we don't.
We're talking about for ones you've selected already or that are just available and not downloaded yet.
On the Windows side, it tells you it's available, but once you download it, it goes away.
Correct.
On the Mac side, it goes...
Nope, once you download it, it goes away as well.
No, it went to the light gray as opposed to dark gray.
Well, I've got to check. Once you select it?
Yeah, it was a little cloud icon that was dark saying you could download it, and there was gray saying... This is a cloud font.
Well, that's news to me because I just tested it and that little cloud thing goes away. So I don't know what version that would be ideal.
And these were on the rental computers, so I don't know what exact version they were running.
Yeah, that's still a frustration.
Oh, you know what? The rental computers were running the perpetual 2019.
I do wonder if, you know, with some of the stuff, Microsoft does sometimes give you things and take them away as tests, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Okay, we'll skip over it. But I was just, I was happy, but maybe I'm not as happy. But I
just on that whole cloud thing, if for whatever reason, because I had somebody email me, I forget who it was. Apologies if you're listening, thanking me for saving them at the last minute. If you have downloaded a whole bunch of cloud fonts and you're like, what is a cloud font? I want to basically, if you want to clear your cache and see what all the cloud fonts are and get rid of everything on your computer, you can do it. You have to find the path. You can do it on the Mac and the PC. You have to basically go find this path, delete everything. There's a blog post about it on presentyourstory.com. And again, apologies, I don't know who it was, but somebody found it and was able to delete them all. And then you get all your clouds back, of course, until you select it again. Was that
Here's the story. It wasn't me. But I was, you know, I'm in show mode. I can't help stuff. Lori pinged me and said, I have two show computers and one is displaying the cloud fonts. The other one isn't. Like, there is a problem with this, and I didn't get the text message, this and that. So when I finally responded, I was like, oh, you have to clear the cache. You can do it. Here's where you'll find it. The answer back was, never mind. I found it on Nolan's blog, and I've already thanked him. So this is Lori who works
at Lori. Wait, was it? No.
It was Lori.
Lori, I would have remembered it. Was it?
Hey, Lori,
was it Lori working with somebody? Was it somebody Lori was working with?
Oh, it was just last week. She says she had it. You were the solution savior for her because she was going bananas.
She sent me an email because my head's been foggy from COVID.
Hey, blog resources. I mean, that's the only reason I have the PowerPoint blog started as a, well, okay, started for different reasons, but now it's just so I can remember things. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I'll look things up, go, oh yeah, I did talk about that like 5 years ago. That's how you fix it. It's just my brain on available to everybody. So let's see. We just talked about that. Oh, this one's another good one on the Mac. There's so many good things.
We're only halfway through. We got to get moving.
This is number 13. Edit pane. So, you know, you bring up the format shape or the, you know, the selection pane. Along the top, if you open up multiple tabs, they get stacked like a little web browser. You know, it's like you can jump between your tabs up there. And on the Windows side, there was nothing for a long time, but now they stack vertically.
Yeah,
vertically,
weird,
they add another
little
sliver. I don't like it. It's using up more of my edit space, and it's hard to identify. I really like the tabs across the top, and that was like I'm sure it's been there for a long time, but I took note of it.
And the big thing is you can double click an object or a text box or what, or a chart, and it brings up that pane without having to right click and say, you know, show formatting.
You used to be able to do that on the Windows side.
I don't think so.
Let me insert a shape here. Oh, maybe not. I thought that wasn't. Yeah, I guess again. Yep. Keyboard command, so I'm always doing it faster. We actually have QAT.
Is there a keyboard command to show formatting panel for something you've selected?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. See, I have it on my QAT. I need to add a box here is what I need to do. I have one that – okay, there's a not a line. I want to do something I can see. Let's add a box. So on my QAT, I have one that says more alignment. Where's it? This is a problem with – I have it minimized. Let me expand it out here.
Yeah, so if you like make a shape, how do you get formatting on it?
Format shape. Is that a keyboard commandable one? No, I guess it's – I don't know. Oh, you know what? We have our own custom shortcuts because, you know, the QAT, you can map to it. When you hit the Alt key on the Windows side, it maps all your stuff. So for me, we have a Stream Deck or a shortcut that goes Alt and it's 0B for us.
Oh, okay.
So we do have it, but it's only on our computers. And that's why we have the same QAT on all of our computers. Because anytime we're sitting with one of we have the Stream Deck edit profiles, it would map to our QAT positions. If we ever change it, we have to change those. Okay. Side note there. Here's one. Going with the same thing, if you tear off a pane, so say you're in that format shape, you can tear it off and make it bigger or move it to another monitor. Yeah. How do you redock it? I mean, I had to close it. And then when you reopen it, it's back there. I couldn't figure out how to get it back.
You drag it over to the right side until you get sort of this like gray pop-up thing. And then you have to like put your mouse over the edge of the right side of PowerPoint and it'll – you just it's a feel thing. But if you sort of like – you pull it over to the right side, it'll – like the dock thing will open up and you can drop it in there.
I just missed it. Yeah. And so I basically discovered if you just exit and you reopen it, it shows up back in the dock area, which was also kind of a bummer because I was working – well, we'll talk about animation later. missing on the Mac is the ability to keep slideshow live while bringing up other apps or Finder to load files while the projection is still showing the active slide. No animation can happen. Yeah. I do this all the time on the Windows. Basically, you can't minimize your presenter view. It's a full screen.
Right.
You can't put anything on top of it, and you can't minimize it as you can on Windows side. And I just found this to be
you can.
Horribly limited. You can.
You have to do the Command Tab thing to bring up. So you're in slideshow mode. Let's say you've got two screens. Both are taken up. You do the Command Tab thing, which brings up all your active applications.
Okay.
And then you can scroll to, you know, Word or Safari or whatever. And then that will bring it up on top of PowerPoint and slideshow mode.
Really? Okay. See, and that's just, it's such a natural, easy workflow on the Windows side. Yeah. So on the Mac, you kind of got jumped through some, I didn't even think it was available and it just kills me. And that's, again, I would do that oftentimes, you know, we'll be sitting on a slide and I'll just leave it there and I'll quickly bring up another deck to show the presenter like, hey, you're slide five, you know, this number is different and can't do that. Okay. So it is available, but you got to know the hoops to get through. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're on to number 16 and this one's really crazy. So on the Mac version, the about dialogue, you know, so you go into the, you know, the information you go about, I found it much easier to get to. And the information is so much cleaner setup. I should make a blog post showing a Mac version and a Windows version because the Windows version is so dense, code, crazy amount of information. The Mac just says, hey, you've got this, this, and this. And it was so much nicer.
You have to go to the backstage view, right?
Yeah.
And then go into info. Is it info? No, is it property?
No. I think it was up at the under the Apple, say about.
No, under the Mac. I'm talking on the PC to get all that information.
Into the backstage, you go down to the bottom and you click. No.
Yeah, it's a couple.
Account
clicks.
Or info? No, account. You're right. So the about menu, way easier. I'm going to make a little note. I'll put a little blog post up there because I think it's just, you know, again, it's continuity. It's like, why are the two programs so different on giving you your information? So here's one Mac's missing, and I use this a fair amount, and I understand that a lot of people have never even heard of this feature. I will do a shout out to Rick Brettschneider, who at the time, as part of the PowerPoint team, I believe this was one of his features he put in, so I continuously applaud him. It's the ability to export a PowerPoint picture slideshow. So in other words, it makes a static grab of every single slide, drops it into a new deck, and it gives you just a total, it's like a PDF version, you know, everything's static. And it's not even a save as option on the Mac, which surprised me.
I'm checking export because you do have save as options and export options, and they're not always the same. But nope, it's not there either. So yeah, that's a deficiency.
So Lori's yelling at me from the other room saying, explain why. So a lot of times, you know, making a PDF of a deck, if there's a lot of dense, especially layered information, the PDF does get bloated because it does take in everything, even though it's not going to be displayed. If you want to make a really small PDF fast, export it, a PowerPoint picture slideshow, and make that the PDF. So it's literally just PDFing a bunch of static slides. So that thing that was a 90 megabyte PDF suddenly becomes 6 megabytes total. So I use it for that.
And of course, the Mac creates incredibly bloated PDFs to begin with. We don't have to get into that.
The Windows side definitely much is superior on that because it uses the Microsoft engine or the Adobe engine.
I believe the Mac is also missing a photo album, the ability to.
I did not put that in here, but I did discover that one just like a couple of weeks ago.
Is it like I use it like once every 4 years, but
I use it quite often actually. Yeah. Okay. And a lot of times it's just because I know I need all these photos. and I'll just create a quick photo album and I'll put the two presentations side by side. So I have like this ready copy paste library of the images. So I know there's other ways around it, but it's just my workflow. But I also do them for photo loops. We create little like, hey, here's all the stuff from the photographer last night. Make a quick photo loop. So photo albums.
Do you remember I got contacted by somebody years ago? I think he was like a college professor. He's like art history. He's like, I have thousands and thousands of, you know, images and I need to, you know, put them all in PowerPoint. Like how much would it cost? You know, I know it'll be a lot. Because it's, you know, thousands of images. And I just emailed him back. I said, this thing called photo album, just it'll do it for you with one click. I'm not going to charge you for it.
That's awesome. Okay, here I got one that is just, and I, folks, listen for this. Nolan's going to groan. I can almost guarantee it. Nolan, let's talk about animations on the Mac.
Yeah.
But here's my real question. First of all, the animation pane on the Mac, it just sucks. I mean, it just is so, I mean, the one on the Windows side is capable, but like it's so needing an update. Phone applications on your phone are way more intuitive and powerful at this point. So we do maximize it. I like it. I would not want it to go away, but it could definitely use a complete refresh. Mm-hmm. But on the Mac, how do you stack animations? By that meaning, if you have a box and I want to give it a fly in and a fade and a motion path to create this custom animation, I couldn't do it. I couldn't find, there's no add information. What is it on the Windows side?
Yeah. So it's tricky because sometimes you'll overwrite the existing animation. Basically you need to sort of click away from the image and click back on the image or whatever it might be. And then just add another animation.
Really?
And then it will layer them. But with, you know, if you just, another frustrating thing with the animation pane is if you just select an image that has an animation applied to it, it won't highlight it in the pane until you click the little like numbered little square next to it. Whereas and sometimes when you have literally layered, you know, objects, you don't know which one to pick or which is the animation. So whereas on the PC, you just click the object and it automatically highlights it there. But yeah, layering
it's all of them. If it's a multi-animation, it tells you right away.
I think in a way, the Mac is in a way, again, it's just a little more elegant. Like you don't have that add animation. You just click the thing again.
And that's what I was looking for. I didn't think to actually click away and add. So actually I did some animations on the Windows side and just brought those over because I was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm just doing it here.
Yeah, but certainly stacking is just so much easier with the timeline and everything on the PC. So yeah, I just don't do that much animation anymore these days. And if I do, it's just so simple. It's just like appear, you know, fly in.
Hey, that was the last episode. Animation's back. I'm excited. You know, big shows, big animation, because, you know, even then bandwidth and performance of virtual has improved where we're now doing animation for clients that we were not doing 2 years ago. They're like nothing, no builds, no transitions. And now they're like, okay, we can do within these guidelines because we've given anyways. Okay. We're up to number 20, folks. This is getting there. Presenter notes. So I'm kind of going back to this, but it's not what we just talked about. At the bottom of the main interface on the Windows side, there's a little icon that says notes, and you click it to raise or lower, for lack of a better word, the presenter notes.
You mean the size?
Well, just to even make them appear and disappear. The size
about in presenter view mode?
No, just in edit view. I should clarify. Creating or adding presenter notes in edit view. Yeah, so I'm not going in the presenter view world. On the Mac side, it was just a different interface. And in addition, every time you turn on notes in presenter view. Okay, let me re-say that one whole thing again. Wow. On the Mac, if you don't see presenter notes in edit view and you click the little notes thing, they open up as just a little like two line thing on the Windows side. If I've resized it to take up like 2/3 of the height of the thing, it remembers it. I think that's great. It like has some.
Yeah. It makes no sense to bring up notes, you know, in like a little half an inch, which you can't read at all.
And then you're constantly resizing it. The Windows side keeps it. I wish you could set it per slide or per section maybe, but again, inconsistencies. And I actually like the Windows side a lot better.
Also, even just the, like, you have a comments button down there and you don't have that on the PC. You have display settings down there instead. They just, I don't know, it's just inconsistent. Microsoft listening? Does Microsoft listen to this? I don't think
I hope so. This one's got a lot of good. You've given me a lot more insight than I found playing with it for a couple of weeks of intense work and also, you know, doing a little web searching. Okay, here's the next one. I'm going to go back to slide sorter. So in edit view, not presenter view. So I go into presenter view. I'm in edit view, and I'm going to actually look at the real slide sorter. Mm-hmm. The outline on the slide you're on, mm-hmm. on the Mac, is much darker and much bolder and much easier to identify because the Windows one is this wimpy light orange outline. And yes, I hate it because it's hard to see.
Okay. I'm going to push back on you because I'm getting the same dark red, but that's because I'm using the light interface on both.
I was going to say it's probably interface, color interface space, because I'm in dark mode and it uses this. It's not even a bright orange anymore. It's like this, it's like this wimpy peach colored, and it's got a slight gradient to it. And I mean, it works great when you have four or five slides. Try loading up 400 slides and shrinking yourself down. It just becomes this little, I just thought the Mac version, it's a small thing, but I thought it was better. Hold on, where was that? That was the slide outline. It's darker and bolder. I like that. Okay, number 22. And this is a Mac OS thing. But the here's my opinion. If I go into slide sorter view and I want to, and I'm on slide one and I want to see slide 200, I'm going to take my wheel mouse and I'm going to pull it back towards me. I'm going to wheel down so the slides go up. Yep. Or on my trackpad, I'm going to three finger swipe up, so I'm moving it up. But on the Mac, it's completely the opposite. Is that just me?
Yeah, so that's a Mac thing you can change. You can go into the preferences and they call it, what do they call it? It's kind of funny. They call it like real scrolling, or let me go to the trackpad and see. Oh no, it's not trackpad, it's mouse. You can change the scroll direction to natural. That's what they call it. And then you can reverse whatever that is.
I'm not natural.
Exactly. So whatever, you know.
The Windows side is not natural because that's the default.
So I scrolled, I pull down and it goes scrolls up, right? Is that what you want? I think you have to, whatever, you have to go in there and check it on or check it off if it's not working the way you want it to work.
I'm looking to see if it's even an option on the Windows side to change the roll the mouse multiple lines at a time, cursors. I don't even think I see this as an option to change it. So it would go match a Mac, which is probably bad for the Mac, you know, Mac primary, Mac first users.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't. Okay. Additional mouse options. Well, look at this. Here's the thing. You can find that a wheel. Here we go. No. Nope, I can control how fast it goes, but I cannot control the direction, I don't believe, on the Windows side. So therefore, it has to be what I know because I can't change it on the Windows side. Okay, and this is also a Mac OS thing. Mm-hmm. And I am so enviable of this particular item. I actually did a blog post while I was in, I think I was in Orlando on the show with the 10 Macs around me, and just completely enviable. AirDrop. Has nothing to do with Office, but AirDrop is just,
it's great.
Mind-blowingly. So I have 10 computers. I've identified them all. I go to the file and I literally just click, you know, AirDrop and pick the computer name and it just shows up over there. No networking needs. I mean, it is networked, but it's auto networking.
It's through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Or is it Bluetooth?
It was Wi-Fi, I believe, because they all had to be online, I think.
But you can do that through Bluetooth. You don't need a...
Oh, really? I didn't know that part, actually.
So if you're airplane, you can like try to AirDrop things to other people. It's fantastic. PC has nothing like that, like no sort of computer-to-computer thing, whatever.
Well, and I had the person next to me AirDrop me photos from their phone. Yeah. I'm like, this is just so unbelievably
awesome.
There are very few PowerPoint add-ins that can be used on the Mac. This is just... sad.
Yep. Pretty much BrightSlide, right?
And BrightSlide is pretty much a do-it-all thing. So I installed it on all the rental computers. I'm like, I got to have something, guys. So I did take the time. I installed it. BrightSlide, I hope it doesn't affect you because I just made up emails to authenticate with and because I didn't want to track back to me. So a little disposable Gmail account, I think. But, so it's on at least a dozen other computers out there. But I kind of forgot how few options there are on the Mac side. And it's more of an OS limitation, I know, but
well, it's a market share thing because you can design add-ins for the Mac. I just think the market share is so low, the demand is so low. So
okay, that could be.
And I mean, it is more difficult from what I've heard, what I've been told, it is more difficult, but it's not impossible. But yeah, we wish we had Slidewise and, you know, other tools, but we'll take what we got.
I did go back and forth between my production computer, my Windows-based one, this, that. Hey, so that's 24 items, if anybody's counting. I mean, there's a lot more in there. My 25 was a total repeat, so I'm pulling away. Nolan, do you have a number 25 we can put in there, something you know?
They're different. Well, again, like you asked, I mean, I'm just going to go back to what I've said a number of times today. I think one of the killer features is the ability to do Mac OS shortcuts, level shortcuts. So all my alignment tools, my, you know, go into slideshow mode, my export, you know, all they're just keyboard shortcuts, and they're whatever I use, like in Adobe and whatever I'm comfortable with. And so as long as something's in the file menu, which the PC doesn't have as well at all, you can set it to be whatever you want. So I think that's just a huge, huge time saver. And that's my big thing that I think we have up over on the PC.
And see, we have that now with the Stream Deck. So we have custom profiles to do a lot of stuff, but again, you need another device and it needs to be configured, you know, more software. You know, you've configured your computers with custom.
Wait a minute. You can't do like a Stream Deck for alignment, can you?
Absolutely.
You can. How do you do it?
I have on my QAT, all my main alignment tools. Mm-hmm. So if I click something, I can then, basically, the Stream Deck becomes Alt. Hold on, I'm going to do it right now.
So you put and a multi-action.
And then align left is 0K, 0L, 0M, 0N, 0O.
So that works.
So, you know, we have all these custom profiles. And I also have on my QAT, which is missing on the Mac. So you need more keyboard shortcuts than you do on the Windows side, because that option of having an actual perpetually available QAT with all the main commands.
All right. Well, I think that was a good list. I think that was a good, you know.
Again, I learned a lot. I've made notes on this.
There, and I think this is a good companion to the episode with Mike and Joel. I think we talked about some new things and some similar things, but there continues to be a disparity between the two programs. That.
Hey, do you have a pro tip or a tech tip?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's jump out and come back and do those, and then we'll do a quick wrap up.
Okay.
Okay, my pro tech tip for this episode is going right in line with the whole conversation. Apple refurbed and clearance online store, your best option for buying everything, because it comes with the base Apple Care, right? That's the warranty. Mm-hmm. Now I've forgotten the name. And then you can add on to it because they're all bought from Apple. In addition, I bought 4 14-inch MacBook Pros, and they, as part of the package, they overnighted them to me. It was actually, I wanted to pick them up at the store. This is a really funny story. I said, oh, I'm in this state and you have a store right over here. I want them delivered. But because I was buying them from out of state, they wouldn't let me actually have them delivered to the store for me to go pick up. He's like, you know what? I'll just have them overnighted to your hotel. I'm like, okay, but I'd rather just give me an excuse to go to outside this resort and go there. So, but Apple refurb clearance store, I mean, all my MacBook Pros, I think they're like, you know, first of all, you have to take what's there and you never know what's there. But I think they're like $350 off each unit. So, you know, times 4, that adds up. So that's my pro tip. That's a great way to buy Apple stuff and know that it's actually brand new condition, all fully warrantied. What do you got, Nolan?
All right. Well, I was going to do something else, but I'll give you a couple. I'll give you some Mac tips or love. There's a little program I use called Bartender. And obviously it's Mac only, but if your taskbar at the top, whatever they call that, the menu bar at the way top of your computer is getting overloaded, because every time you put a new application on, a lot of them give you a little like thing, and sometimes you can take them off, sometimes you can't. And so it starts to get a little crazy and sort of out of control. And also if you're ever doing screen sharing or whatever, it just gets messy. So I do two things mostly for when I'm screen sharing and training. First is I do go into the system preferences and I auto hide my menu bar at the top. So that means only when I mouse over it does it show up. But on top of that, I also have this little program called Bartender. It's a little app that basically gives you control back over your menu bar. It allows you to put only the apps in there that you want. You can have presets. You can have all sorts of things.
It's a selection pane for the bar.
A little little bit.
Turn on and off?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So it gives you little three dots. You can go up and click it and get everything. So you can have only the things that you want to see, like on a regular basis up there. You don't have to get, you know, you don't need your Wi-Fi and all your other stuff. But when you need that, it's a little click. And anyway, so it's a really nice thing if you do screen recording, because you can, you know, have your presets and you don't need everybody to see all your programs and things like that. So yeah, it's probably a few bucks.
Oh, give me a link. I got to put that one in there because I may be getting that for our computers to just streamline
Bartender them. Mac the tagline for it is "Take control of your menu bar." So there it is. It's and I'll put that in. I'll put that in the.
Okay, and that concludes episode 155 of the Presentation Podcast. Thanks, Nolan, for being my Mac PowerPoint sounding board. PowerPoint, same application on multiple platforms, which is pretty amazing. But there are inconsistencies between the two, which just kind of confuse me. Like, aren't you all on the same page? So a few years back, Sean Villaron, basically the head of PowerPoint development at Microsoft, he was so enthusiastically geeking out on how PowerPoint is using the same code base for all versions. I mean, so in the coding world, this is a huge deal. This is a very large application that uses the same code base on Windows, Mac, web, mobile, I believe. And I've been recalling that conversation as part of the reason I wanted Nolan and I to have this conversation, because it's the same code base, but I found so many inconsistencies between them of, you know, even presenter view and the end slideshow being a different position. I'm like, wouldn't it just be easier to use the same exact code at some point? So, and that, and the fact that I've kind of dived back into the Mac version of PowerPoint again. All of the items we talked about are about nuances and do not impact the reliability or functionality of PowerPoint on any platform. I truly believe PowerPoint is the most stable and powerful application available in the presenting world. And it's just stellar. I mean, obviously, it's the cornerstone of most of our design team's work on a daily basis, but there are little nuances. And I thought this was just an awesome conversation. So, Nolan, thanks for hanging out. Hope you continue to feel better. Good luck with all the ongoing trainings.
Thank you.
And let's do some sign-offs.
All right.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com, the presentation, the PowerPoint blog.com. Lots and lots of great stuff there. And we will someday get back to Facebook, but don't bother going there. I don't think we've done anything.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out nolanhamescreative.com/goodies for a lot of other good stuff. And also you can find out about our trainings and also our design services as well. And just a reminder, the Better Deck Deck is still available. You can get it at thebetterdeckdeck.com. You can also get it at Amazon if you want me to make less money off it. But either one is fine. And reviews on Amazon are always always appreciated if you have one. And with that, I think we're good.
Hey, everybody have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for another presentation and PowerPoint conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com, where you can also send us episode suggestions, questions, or comments. Don't leave people out of the conversation. Recommend the Presentation Podcast to everyone. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.